here we are, and welcome to the Archaeology News Weekly. I am, of course, David Connolly, your host. I'd just like to point out that it might be a... hope you're not settling down too much. It's going to be fairly short. I'm afraid news is in short supply this week, but you never know what will happen next week. Anyway, this news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website, along with the fabulous Past Horizons website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on the story, including that source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Well, here are the four stories. We've got Californian rock carvings. It's good news. Recovered after the theft. Native Americans built a massive mound in less than 90 days. And in Guernsey, mixed messages here. The Neolithic grave protection plan is submitted, but it's maybe not quite what we would like. And finally, from our good friend Dougie Scott, we have ancient rock art uncovered in the Scottish Highlands. What a man. Now, to shave his blushes, let's say save his blushes, we'll leave him to the end and head off to the warmth of California, where a series of rock carvings that date back more than 3,500 years that were literally sheared off the living rock face, and that's taken from a sacred American Indian site in California's Sierra Nevada, have now been recovered 3 months after the theft. Authorities said that no one has been arrested and they wouldn't provide details about the discovery, saying only that it was made after they received an anonymous tip in a letter. Native Americans carved images of hunters, deer, and other animals, along with geometric and other designs, on hundreds of these boulders that make up a half-mile-long volcanic escarpment in the Sierra. It's unclear what will happen to the carvings, but federal authorities will be speaking to the Paiute Shoshone tribal leaders to accommodate their wishes. David Christie, a spokesman for the Bureau of Land Management, reported that this was a terrible thing to happen from their perspective. Actually, from anybody's perspective as well. Removing or damaging petroglyphs is a felony, and first-time offenders can be imprisoned for up to a year and fined as much as $20,000. Visitors to the area, known as the Volcanic Tablelands, discovered the theft and reported it to federal authorities back in October 2012. The thieves are believed to have used ladders, electric generators and power saws to remove the panels that are 2 feet in diameter. The site north of Bishop is protected under the Archaeological Resources Protection Act and listed under the National Register of Historic Places, but that did not stop it from being targeted by these vandals and thieves. From a personal point of view, even though these items have now been recovered, I really don't see how you can place them back into the landscape again from what they've taken. It is unbelievable that these people can destroy basically 3,500 years of heritage in a matter of moments. A year in prison, well, I definitely hope they get at least that. Let's find them. Well, now to some better news. New research offers evidence that the fabulously named Mound A, one of the great earthen mounds at Poverty Point in Louisiana, was constructed in less than 90 days. The current findings go against what has long been considered the academic consensus on hunter-gatherer societies, that they lacked the political organization necessary to bring together so many people to complete a labor-intensive project in such a short period. The study offers a detailed analysis of just how the mound was constructed some 3,200 years ago. Part of the much larger complex of earthworks, Mound A is believed to be the final addition to this 280-hectare site, which includes 5 smaller mounds and a series of 6 concentric C-shaped embankments surrounding a small flat plaza along the river. At the time of construction, Poverty Point was the largest earthworks in North America. Mound A covers about 50,000 square metres and rises 22 metres above the river, requiring around 238,500 cubic metres of soil. The site was cleared by burning and quickly covered with a layer of fine silt soil. A mix of other heavier soils were then brought in, bucket by bucket, building up the mound layer upon layer. The Poverty Point mounds were built by people who had no access to draft animals, no access to wheelbarrows, no access to sophisticated earth-moving equipment, but they did it. To complete such a task within 90 days would require some 3,000 people to work together. And given that a band at the time of hunter-gatherers would be around 25 to 30 people, it's considered amazing that this society could bring together a group which would have to be nearly 10,000 people to include the other family members and those involved in providing the food for the builders to actually achieve such an amazing construction. Hats off to them. It makes our Silbury Hill in England look a little bit paltry by comparison. Now, a Neolithic grave in Guernsey could be half buried in soil and grassed over to preserve it. Guernsey Museums and Art Galleries has asked for planning permission to conduct the work in Delancey Park and then put up an information sign. State archaeologist Dr. Philip de Jersey said the Neolithic gallery grave was the only example of its type found in Guernsey and that covering part of the stones would hopefully protect them. I'm not sure from what. He said other Neolithic graves in the island tended to be passage graves with a wider chamber. The grave was discovered and excavated in 1919 and 1932 and in the summers of 2009 to 2011. It is collapsed and the capstones have long since vanished. What we have now are just the prop stones along each side, which have all fallen over in the past few thousand years. But archaeologist, our friend and yours, Dr. George Nash, who led the most recent work, recommended the site should be enhanced and marked as one of educational value. Well, I for one tend to listen to what George says. And now, back to Scotland. What a fabulous discovery. The highest concentration of ancient rock art ever discovered in the Highlands has now been fully recorded on a hillside in Ross-shire. The cut marks carved into the rocks, perhaps up to 5,000 years ago, have been found on 28 separate sites across Swardale Hill, just outside Evington. The remains of an enclosed henge have also been found on the hill, which also, believe it or not, contains a chambered cairn and standing stones. The majority of the cut mark stones, as well as the henge, were identified and recorded by Douglas Scott, or should I say Dougie Scott, a damned good friend of ours, who says all the evidence suggests the hill was once a ritual centre of some significance. I have to agree with him there. It's thought that the cut marks were ground into the rocks were between maybe 3,500 to 5,000 years ago. Mr. Scott has lodged his findings with the Highland Historic Environment Record and the Royal Commission and has produced a full photographic guide, the Dromore Cut Marks. If you want to see what you can do in your area, I really suggest if you wait to the end of this, you download his guide and see just what you could do in your area. Anyway, it was back in 1986 that Dougie and the late Bob Gourlay, the then Highland Regional Archaeologist, went up to Swardale Hill to search for more rock art. And, apart from the 5 known examples, recorded and photographed 14 more cup-marked rocks on the ridge. Now, during the last 2 years, Dougie has returned again to plot the stones he and Mr. Gourlay found, and in the process discovered another 9 cup-marked rocks, bringing the total to 28. It truly is unbelievable. He's also discovered a wide circular ditched enclosure with a small central standing stone next to a cup-marked stone, which suggests that all this is a mass ritual landscape with all these elements connected in some way. Dougie's convinced that this is the largest concentration of rock art found so far in the Highlands and shows the area was of some significance. His survey suggests that there could have been general orientations between some cut mark stones and the rising and settings of the suns at midwinter, midsummer and at the equinoxes. There's also evidence of a connection to the rising and setting of full moons. The position of the cut marks between the cairn and the henge suggests that this was one of the most important ritual sites during the Neolithic and Bronze Age. In the field below the henge, there's even possibly a 2.5-metre fallen standing stone, which has two grooves next to a stone axe-shaped depression. Dougie wants people to actually visit this site and encourages them to get hold of his guide to find out more about the ancient rock art there. This information, he says, is for everybody. It belongs to us all. And to get a copy of this guide, well, you could start off by contacting Dougie himself on douglas.scott, that's S-C-O-T-T-T, douglas.scott, with three T's at the end, at btinternet.com. Or, if you want to go straight to the guide, we have hosted it on the Past Horizons website, so you'll find it at www.pasthorizonspr.com/doc, and I hope you're sitting comfortably for this one. It is SWORDALE_2013.pdf. So that was www.pasthorizonspr.com/doc/swardale_2013.pdf. I have to say that I am heading out with a group of students from Edinburgh University into the Lammermuir Hills of East Lothian as well. We're going to be looking at set of standing stones that no one's really looked at what their significance is before. So we are going to record it, we're going to survey it, and then we're going to see exactly how it fits into the landscape. Does it point to anything? Are there any cairns on the horizon that they creates a marker for one of these solstices or lunar standstills? And Dougie's going to come down and I hope help us as well. It is absolutely fascinating. And just goes to show, even at my advanced years, that there is always something that you can learn from someone who has a passion. Well, wiping a tear from my eye, can I say to you that if you want to catch up with more archaeology news, then you can always pop along to Past Horizons, that's pasthorizonspr.com, where you can also have a look at some videos, perhaps even think about buying some archaeology tools from the lovely Past Horizons tool shop. And can I also say to you that you will always find more, much, much more, on Stone Pages at news.stonepages.com. Thank you again for listening to Archaeology News Weekly, and we hope you'll return again to us next week.